Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon, and today's podcast is going to be amazing. We are going to interview Dr. Felix Bertram. He's a Swiss board-certified dermatologist, serial entrepreneur, and speaker. He founded Skin Med. It's one of Switzerland's fastest-growing and largest aesthetic clinics, and he has 5 locations, 140 employees. He does thousands of procedures there. He also has a skincare line. He runs the Inner Circle, a transformative event for aesthetic professionals, and he's an investor on Switzerland's kind of Shark Tank, which we'll talk about. And he also has a restaurant that's earned 2 Michelin stars. I'm coming to try that for sure.
Yes.
He has such an amazing, interesting life story. He survived a near-fatal motorcycle accident. Was in a coma. He lost a leg. He's been channeling all of this into resilience, and really it infuses everything he does. I think that that's what makes him so interesting and exciting. He's very relatable, and he's on the cutting edge of what we're doing in aesthetics. Welcome to the podcast, Felix.
Thank you for the lovely introduction, and thanks for having me on the show.
Of course. Well, I want to dive right in. I did not know until I read your bio that you were in a near-fatal motorcycle accident. How many years ago is that, and how did you overcome so much health problems and being in a coma, for gosh sakes?
Yeah, it's 30 years ago, and I was 19. Yeah, of course it was stress, and I was devastated, and I was in coma, and all these things happened. But I have the ability, and I consider myself as lucky, because I start reframing things. So I started reframing this, and okay, I lost a leg, but I could have been dead. I could have been in the wheelchair. I could have lost an arm, which would be more critical, at least for me and what I wanted to do in life. And also we're thinking, you know, the accident happened in Germany. I got 2 perfect technical artificial legs. I was in Africa shortly later and saw all these people without legs crawling on the street or doing stuff like this. So I consider myself as a lucky person. And since then, I always, whenever something happens in life, I try to reframe it.
That's a wonderful mindset, because you must have resilience. Otherwise, how will you survive? Do you think that that journey helped inspire you to go into healthcare and then later into aesthetics?
Yes. I don't know if you know that, but I wanted to be an actor before, and I was a young actor, and I was part of some movies and TV series. I also did a movie with Christoph Waltz, the 2-time or 3-time Academy Award winner. He's from Austria, as you know. However, after the accident, there was one young doctor within the clinic who was super inspiring, the way he treated people and the way he had compassion and empathy. And he was my role model, and he was the reason I started diving into healthcare. And the reason I ended up in dermatology and aesthetics is I started in trauma surgery with my artificial leg, and having these metal vests and all these x-rays and day-long surgeries wasn't a fit. Then I moved on to plastic surgery, and within that hospital, the main doctor said there's a dermatological department that needs someone who can do surgery and do all the molds and basal cell carcinomas and whatever was happening there. And so I went into dermatology, and I never regretted it, and started early on with aesthetics and Botox and fillers.
I love it. And then now you have launched a huge chain of clinics in Switzerland. How did you come up with the name?
You know, I started small, right? I had a single practice, and I always had this vision of having something special for patients, having great service, great quality, having a proper branding. And I didn't want it, I think it was by accident, but I didn't want it to bond that too much to my person, and hadn't call it the Dr. Felix Bertram Clinic. First of all, because I don't have an ego. Also, I wanted other doctors to be part of it, and they all should have the same stage and the same reputation, the same light. Mm-hmm. And last but not least, I mean, one day we might all want to sell our clinics, and if it's too much related to you personally, that might be a problem. So I think I was lucky. Skin Med is a great name. And it's very well known in Switzerland now. And like, yeah, 30 doctors feel comfortable being part of the brand and not being second grade after the super doctor Felix Bertram. Many doctors do these kind of things and don't realize that they hamper their own growth as a business.
Yeah, like me, beating by Dr. K.
Oh, I'm sorry. Or no, here's the thing. If you are such a superstar like you are, then you can do it.
I have honestly thought about that. Like, I want to clone myself so that I can be out of the clinic, but everybody wants me because it's branded after me. And so it's definitely an important question as you build your
future. I'm not doing anything. I'm neither a doctor anymore or doing injections, and I'm also not in the operations anymore. So now
you're fully in the entrepreneurial tract.
Yeah, but I'm only in the board of my company, so we have a C-level, and I have many investments and travel a lot, and live a free life, which is amazing.
That is amazing.
Not to any agenda or schedule, or very few.
What does success look like for you now compared to previously 10 years
ago? Oh, that's a very good question. You know, I was hunting all the shit we all hunt, money, fame, cars, and all the things. Well, I achieved all that, of course, but now success is being free, being independent, and I mean it clearly like that. I say a lot of no's. I don't take on many appointments in my schedule. I also don't take on appointments in 3 month time or whatever. So I'm very flexible. When I want to go for kite surfing next week, I can do. And my day now looks like the morning is for health. So I cycle in the morning, go to the gym, followed by sauna. Then I start my day with a nice, healthy, tasty lunch. And then I have 4 hours of productive work. And I can tell you, I'm achieving more in these four hours than I ever have done before when I was working 12 hours. Mm-hmm. I'm very sharp, very focused, doing my things within the 4 hours. And then late afternoon, I start nurturing my relationships and meet friends and hang out with them. Like my three life circles, health, relationships, and personal development, I'll utilize them throughout the day.
Mm, that's a good balance. Now, having kind of that large overview of being deep in aesthetics, deep in surgery, and now the big picture, what do you see as big growth trends and areas in aesthetics in the next 5 years?
Yeah, I think I only can talk for Europe, of course, filler companies are struggling over here because people are fed up with all these overfilled faces. And what I do see is a huge shift towards longevity, whatever longevity is, because people start realizing it doesn't, you know, if you want to live longer or want to live longer healthy, it's not about just skin. Right. You have to have a holistic approach. And if you do sports and eat well and sleep well and have some kind of a stress resilience, your skin will benefit from that a lot. I'm 50. I would say my skin quality comes from this kind of lifestyle. I'm not doing anything.
Yeah. I think it just definitely reflects your internal health. Your outer skin is a reflection of what you're doing internally.
Yeah, definitely.
Mentally, of course, emotionally, all of that matters. It's interesting you said the filler companies are struggling because sometimes we'll go to listen to people who are forecasting and they think that filler companies are doing great. And like, I'm like, that is not what we see here. Also, there's a huge trend towards collagen stimulators, polynucleotides. Yeah. Are you doing any of the next level new cellular techniques that are kind of more?
Yeah, I'm out of the business since 2 years. I'm not working as a doctor or injector anymore, so I can't give a deep dive on that, but we definitely do that wire. I think our best performing product is Profhilo. Do you know that in
US? Yeah, skin boosters.
We're starting off with peptides and polynucleotides and exosomes. I know this. I mean, the filler companies are public companies and they need to be positive. Probably they still are because they're growing in Asia and Pacific, wherever. But in Europe and US, there's some kind of a saturation, definitely. I mean, if you talk to them in in how do you name that? 1-to-1, they tell you that the numbers are dropping.
Yeah.
And we see that as they come with great offers and say, you know, price strategies, it's a big change. However, I think fillers are still great. But again, we've seen many unqualified people operating within our industry, and these are the faces you see out there, right? You don't see the proper work because they just look great and they say, I drink water or do yoga, not telling the people it's our work. What you see is the bad work and the bad results, and this is reflecting on us, right? That's a problem.
That's very true. You did a TED Talk in 2023. It was called The Ugly Face of Beauty. And you really explored kind of the evolving relationship between beauty and identity and society and what societal norms are being pushed on women to achieve beauty and men as well. Like, can you speak to a little bit about your thoughts on that?
Yeah. The talk was about the impact of social media on beauty, because I think it changed a little bit. It's more authentic nowadays. But back then, everyone was using filters, and they predicted a not realistic reality, right? And young, when we saw that in our clinics, young women especially came in and wanted to look like their avatar or like their filter or a friend's filter. And, for whatever reason, I met some of these people and I said, what? Is that the same person like I've seen on Instagram when I'm following? So that's a big problem, or has been a big problem. And that was my talk about that we shouldn't go down this rabbit hole further because it's the wrong track.
Yeah. Do you feel that more men are going to come into aesthetics? Because I do think that men are interested.
It's funny. We have like 10-15% men, but the new topic, longevity, is heavily covered by men. So we see a lot of men coming in for lab. Can you take blood, draw blood, and watch some lab results? People ask me for advice or consultation about longevity, and that's mainly men, interestingly, because men are still prone to performance. Men are not that much prone to beauty and skin. A few are, of course, but mainly to, yeah, performance, high achievers being the winner, being successful, and longevity is a better fit to men. So I think this industry will be dominated by men, my opinion, yeah.
Yeah, right now longevity does have a very masculine focus. I would say a lot of the speakers and the people, you know, who are definitely teaching are more male focused, but I think it's so critical. It's going to be so critical to bring more of the female longevity voice into this, because hormones, ovarian aging is one of the most dramatic points of.
But isn't that interesting that, which is great, but that female longevity is a lot around hormones and premenopause and menopause, which is amazing, but it's a little bit narrow, right? Men is all about muscle and performance and VO2 max and hormones and micro whatever. And the women field is mainly dominated by all these menopausal things. So I'd wish that we get broader on this and have more speakers and key opinion leaders taking a broader perspective on women's longevity.
For sure. That's one of my reasons. It's very different, but I think, you know, estrogen receptors aren't every cell in the body, but women must have muscle mass, must have bone density. I'm super obsessed about that. So
100, definitely, I agree.
We'll start to see that growing for women's health, hopefully. But men is like, they think they're an F1 Ferrari race car.
Yeah. They're not.
They kind of, like, they're going into longevity with that mindset of, like, supercharged. But
again, I think it's the wrong approach because, you know, men are always prone to be these high achievers, and they come out of a hugely stressful life in their 50s. Yeah. And then they put all the stress on being a new triathlete or marathon runner. And for me, that's not longevity. Longevity has all these elements. One is definitely health, which we're talking about right now. But here we have, you know, 7,000 steps per day, already reduce your all-cause mortality by 40, to 50%, which is achievable, right? So you don't need to be an ultra super sports guy. Just get the basics right at first. Mm-hmm. And then also relationships and personal development. I mean, my biggest gains come from reflecting on what I'm good at and what I'm passionate about and getting everything out of my life, right, which is not a fit to that. So I went through my schedule as an entrepreneur, and I think 40 to 50% of the stuff I was doing was not a fit to me. It was either management or someone else or something I could delegate. And I think that was the biggest gain. So I think longevity is, for me, it's more about that rather than going to some clinics and getting some kind of, I don't know, peptides and uh-huh. performance enhancing stuff to squeeze out the last 2%. That's not longevity. That's something else.
I think that's kind of hard to maintain also. Like, I can be really good about taking all my supplements, vitamins, and, you know, take 20 different pills and take some peptide shots, but then I can't maintain that more than 6-8 weeks. Like, I totally burn out. You'll burn out from that process of, like, it's too much every day. So I think you have to be so selective.
I agree. And I always say, you know, most people don't need to fear an early death, but need to fear never have lived, right?
Oh, so that's so profound. Wow.
No, but I mean, people are rushing through stuff, and now it's longevity, and they try to solve all the things with supplements and cold plunge and infrared, which is BS, to be honest, right? I mean, you first have to get the basics right, which is sleep, exercise, endurance and muscle mass and muscle strength, nutrition and stress resilience. These are the four magic things for longevity, and get these right first and then add some supplements, which should be fit to your situation and your profile. There's no such thing that maybe except from creatine or something, which is the magic pill. Everything changes. It's not the truth. Unfortunately, longevity is stuff we've known for hundreds of years, but we need to get them right.
It's funny, as much as we know so much more molecular biology and all about the, you know, supplements and the things that we need to be doing, it all boils down to light and movement and sleep and nutrition. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, like the wholesome things, friendship, being off of Wi-Fi, all the things that we already know we should be doing.
Yeah. But you know, we humans always search for shortcuts. It's the same with business and success. People, you know, I go into crypto or drop shipping and with the hope of getting rich quickly, which is never happening. It's the same with your health. You have to invest in that, and you have to invest constantly, and you might not see any results for like 6 months. Mm-hmm. But then all of a sudden you stand in front of the mirror and say, oh, my abs are coming back or whatever. So it's a long-term game, like with everything.
Interesting. Now, you've worked across many countries, so how do you kind of see the cultural differences that are maybe shaping aesthetic ideals and patient expectations? Is it very different, you think, between Europe and the U.S.? Or
what I can say from Europe is people don't want to look like being treated, and it's very discreet, especially in Switzerland. I don't know if that's true. I have not detailed information about them, but US, some people like being treated or like having the appearance of being treated, some kind of a status symbol. I have this facelift by Dr. XYZ, or I have boobs from, would you agree? Is it this kind of difference maybe, or?
I think it's very regional. Like, if I'm in Miami, I feel like women like that very, you know, defined and curated look, and even the guys. Whereas, like, in New York City, everybody's very in Manhattan. No one wants to look done, right? In L.A., it's like a healthy mix of a little sexy but not too over the top. So, I feel like you're right. I think Europe, everywhere you go, is so, so subtle. I went to Japan, and like zero people had a filler look. It was very refreshing to see like just normal faces everywhere. In fact, the only faces that stuck out were the tourists that were.
Yeah. The number one thing my patients asked me when I was being an injector is, please make me look natural. That was the number
That's
one
universal,
thing.
I think. I think that maybe that's universal across countries, because I, even in the U.S., I'm really worried I want to look natural. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, what can U.S. and European practices learn from each other in terms of business models, patient care?
In general, I have to admit, I love the U.S. and I love the entrepreneurial mindset. So when you are successful in U.S., people clap you on your shoulders and say, wow, you made it, amazing, which is not the case here, right? If you are successful or too successful, people pull you down, hate you, jealousy, whatever. It's and that's why we don't show off with money, because it's not very well received. And I think Europeans could learn this kind of entrepreneurial approach U.S. people have. I just recently was on Richard Branson's island with a lot of U.S. entrepreneurs, and it was my space. I was so flashed, and I loved them all, and we were pushing each other and giving advice and helping each other. I really love that. So, yeah, number one, definitely U.S., and Europeans could learn a lot from U.S. We have so great social systems. You don't need to be successful. You get housing and fed. And I'm much more American in this regard.
Definitely, I think you definitely have that entrepreneurial spirit. What advice would you give to young people or people wanting to enter aesthetics now?
Well, two things. Get a great education first. Don't focus on money or where can I get a few more dollars. Focus on a great education. I think that's key. And then number two, in regards of entrepreneurial track, I think you either can do well being very small with low infrastructure costs. You know, you are the star. You have a full agenda, but the revenue is... the majority of the revenue is profit, and you have maybe one PA and nothing else, or go big. Everything in between is tough, right? Having like four employees, getting them, because you have to, at this stage, you have to do everything, and you sacrifice somewhere. Either it's your private life or your agenda in regards of patients or theater. So I was in this squeezing mid-range for years. And then once you get bigger to 50, 60 employees, you can start having a COO, CFO, like a C-level. You have an HR department, you have a marketing department like we have now. That makes life much more comfortable. But everything in between is tough, my opinion.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I think that's spot on. I feel like I'm in between. I need to expand, but also I don't know if expanding's right for everybody. It's a lot of work to expand, actually.
Because many think they need to expand. Well, what I recently discovered, I'm not a very good leader. I'm not a very good CEO. I'm an entrepreneur, but my job is to get great people together. I learned that from Richard Branson on his island. He was able to pull great people together. So if you would say, I'm a great surgeon, I love my work on patients, but I want to scale, you should consider to find one brilliant person, man or lady, whatever, who is a good entrepreneur, a good leader, a good manager. And if that matches from the personality and mindset and attitude, you could be a winning team. You might have need to give him some shares or whatever. So I would say today, I was for years, I had to do everything, of course, but I wasn't good at everything. Mm-hmm. I was good when it comes to vision or strategy, but I'm not a good CFO. I'm not a good COO, and I'm even not a good CEO. I'm an entrepreneur.
You're very humble. You're very humble. I'm sure you're
great. I'm absolutely, I mean it seriously. But maybe that's the good thing. You need to know your limitations, and you have to fill the gaps with other people.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think you mentioned that you think a lot about your own personal development, that you have a meeting with yourself every so often, every Friday, was it?
Yes.
So just wondering, how do you work on personal development? What are you working on?
Yes. So I work on all three pillars, health, relationships, and personal development. But coming to personal development, one of the realizations is what I just talked about. What am I good at and what not? Where can I fill the gaps with great people? And that was really relieving and helpful.
Well, Felix, that is such a critical piece of advice and perhaps the most perfect note to end on today. That self-awareness, knowing your limitations, and as you said, filling the gaps with the right people is truly the secret to scaling and achieving the kind of freedom you've so thoughtfully built for yourself. Your journey is just remarkable, from overcoming such a profound personal challenge to redefining what success and longevity truly mean, not just in aesthetics, but in life. So I just want to thank you so much for sharing your incredible insights just on everything from the future of our industry to the power of a resilient mindset. It's been an absolute honor to have you on the show. To everyone listening, I hope you found this conversation as inspiring as I did. We'll be sure to link to Dr. Bertram's work and his powerful TED Talk in the show notes. And don't forget to check out our Instagram. It's Beauty by Dr. K, DRKAY, doing amazing things with aesthetics, beauty, and longevity. And our website is the same, beautybydrk.com, where you can find links to our recent launch of our Skin Longevity line. It's a really great product that has glutathione, GHK, NAD precursors for mitochondrial boosting, and a collagen tripeptide, really amazing complex, my own KD complex. This is a product your skin needs. We all have retin-A, we all have hyaluronic. We don't have the proper peptides for skincare. So guys, I hope you'll check it out. Don't forget to take care of yourself. Think of the bigger picture in your lives. And just like Felix taught us today, that your challenges don't have to end in struggles. They can transformatively change your mindset and your approach to the future. That's it for now, guys. Stay beautiful.